Okay, we're going to continue our journey of faith. And we're going into the Bible and we're looking at Bible characters and how they came to faith and their journey in faith. See, faith is not an event necessarily. It starts with an event when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, but after that it's a journey. Step by step, day by day, year by year, decade by decade, from the time that you're born again until the time that you step through the pearly gates, if there are pearly gates, I guess there is. If you step through those pearly gates, you got to live by faith. And you need to be growing in your faith. We don't need to become stagnant in our faith. So I wanted us to look at some Bible stories. I love Bible stories, don't you? One of my favorite Bible stories, and this goes back to when I was a little boy. Mom bought me one of those Bible story books, one of those big ones, hardcover. And my favorite one was David and Goliath. And that story was on page 101. How do I remember that? I don't know. But David and Goliath was one of my favorite Bible stories. And what's so neat, I got to go, when we were in Israel, I got to go stand in that valley where that took place. And I thought that was so cool to realize a story in a living setting where it actually took place. But we're going to look at Abram today. And we looked at him last week. And we saw how that God began to deal with him. And that's the way it is with us. We don't start searching for God. God reaches out to us and begins to deal with us first. See, it's not like that we have to find him. He's looking for us. He's looking for us. And he goes to right where we are and he begins to deal with us. And one thing I love about it, he's so patient. Never will forget, as a small child, 8, 9, 10 years old, that I was laying, you know, how you lay down and look up at the sky, and I could see the clouds, and I could feel God. That's the first time I remember sensing the presence of God. I didn't really know what it was. This feeling come over me, and golly, I just felt so blessed, and I didn't know what blessing was, but that's what was happening. And there's many times in your life that God has reached out to you in your journey of coming to faith that you didn't realize that he was there, but he was faithful to you where you were at the time, no matter what was going on in your life. He was faithful there because you know why? He loves you so much. Isn't that good news? He loves you so much. I'm already preaching better than you're shouting. I'm going to quit if you're not going to do any better than that. No, I'm not quitting. So God began to deal with Abram. In fact, he began dealing with him in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, I want to read something to you. This is in Acts 7, 2 and 3. And he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia." Now, Ur of the Chaldees was in Mesopotamia. "Before he dwelt in Haran and said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you.'" And we read in Genesis chapter 12, it says this: "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you.'" So this took place, this setting, we see that he's in Haran, but God had already been dealing with him when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. He began to deal with him, and He began a work of separation. And we talked about that last week, that our journey of faith has to do a lot with separation. That's a term that they use. Well, they don't use that word, but they use the word change in Celebrate Recovery. You have to change your friends. You have to change your people, places, and things. If you're going to survive in recovery, you've got to change where you're going, who you're hanging out with, and what you're doing. People, places, and things. So God begins this process in Abram. Now, he didn't have a drug problem. Okay? But was he in recovery? Absolutely. Actually, what had happened, see, this family was descendants of Noah. But there's evidence in the Old Testament that they had gotten away from God, and his family were idol worshipers. They knew about the God of Noah, but they had gotten into idolatry. And that's one of the reasons that God was saying to him, get out of your country, get away from your relatives and your father's house. Why? He was separating him from idolatry. And that's one of the things that our process of faith has to do, because do we have idols today? Yes, we do. Now, they're not little wooden images that we bow down to, but they're shiny images like cars and, you know, power and prestige and, you know, recreation. We've got all kinds of idols in our society today. But God began to separate him from those idol worshipers, the influence that was in his life. God is saying you're going to have to change your people, places, and things. And it's interesting. What he did was he left his country, but he took his family with him, and he took his father with him. So was he fully obedient? No. Did he leave his country? Yes. Did he leave his relatives? No. Did he leave his father? No. Well, did God give up on him? No. God worked with him where he was at. And that's the neat thing about God. He meets us right where we're at. Now, he refuses to leave you there. Okay? He refuses to leave you there. He's going to do his work. He's working. God is at work all the time. When you think God is idle, he's at work. And somebody needs to hear this. One of the reasons that God seems idle is because you're idle. You quit doing something that you need to be doing, and it seems like God is idle. No, he's just gone in a different gear, and he's having to go in a different direction to get you off your hiney. Okay? And we're going to see that something that happened here. So Abram and his family left Ur of the Chaldees, and they settled in a place called Haran. And this was named after his uncle, Lot's father. And it's interesting, because of Abram's partial obedience, he goes into this place called Haran, and he stays for 5 years. It's interesting that Terah, his father's name, means to halt on a journey. I just thought that was an interesting side note, that name means to halt on a journey. So when they got to Haran, you know what they did? They halted on a journey. That was not God's destination for them, but they halted on a journey. And they stayed there for 5 years. That was a delay. Wouldn't you say that was a delay? God gave him a command. God gave him a command with a promise. And he went so far, and he stayed there for 5 years. There was a delay. And it's interesting that the word Haran in the Hebrew means parched. Parched, dry. Have you ever come to a place in your walk with God that it feels dry and you feel parched? Maybe you need to look at yourself and see what's causing you your delay. Let me just tell you, the problem's not with God. The problem's always with us. And Abram stopped. God went in a different mode. So, Terah died. And then Abram goes back on, he goes back on his journey after that. So, here's the thing. There had to be separation. First of all, he was separated from his country. Secondly, His father dies. That's a separation. But Lot goes on with him. But listen, Lot's not part of the promise. He's part of the family. He's part of the problem. Sometimes people are part of the problem. Sometimes geography is a part of the problem. Sometimes things are a part of the problem. And there has to be a separation in our life. And this has to do with our growing faith life. Our growing faith life. And down the road, a few chapters over, we don't have time to go and look at it. Abram is blessed. Lot is blessed. They grow in cattle. They grow in livestock. And the land that they're in is so crowded that there's not room for all of their flocks. And they get into strife. The herdsmen get into strife. And so Abram says, now listen, we're kin. We got to do something about this. You choose where you want to go and we'll separate. If you choose to go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you choose to go to the right, I'll choose to go to the left. So Lot looks around and he finds the greenest looking area. He says, I'll go that way. And guess where he went? Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a lesson learned here. The way to go is not always the best looking way. So Abram went the other way. So there was a separation there. So separation was a part of his life. He separated him from his country. He separated him from his father. He separated him from his relatives. Why? They were idol worshipers. They were idol worshipers. God was going to reveal himself to Abram because God had something that he wanted to do in the earth. And he chose to use Abram to get it done. But there had to be a work in him so that he could get him into the place where he could be the father of the faithful. And he became that. But it was a journey. It was a journey. See, sometimes we look at these guys in the Bible and we think, oh man, they were of the greatest character. But, you know, they were strong. One good thing about the Bible, God doesn't sugarcoat those people's lives. I mean, it's in the Bible for all to see. How many billions of people do you think have read about Abraham in the Bible? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you would like for your life to be in a book for billions of people to read? Your fears, your sins, your hidden secrets, all of those things that you're ashamed of. How many of you would like for that to be written in the Bible? For everybody to read about you. Anybody? Not this little gray duck. Not me. But God didn't sugarcoat it. He showed it. Why? So that we can read it and learn from that example. There's lessons that we can learn by these stories in the Bible that will save us time and energy and effort. If we're smart enough to look, we can listen. Where's my class at? We can observe it. Huh? What comes after observation? Interpretation. What comes after interpretation? Application. Now, that's what we're learning on Wednesday nights. How to observe what's in the Bible. How to interpret it after we observe it. And then how do we apply that to our lives? See, the Bible is applicable to our daily lives. That's why you need to be reading your Bibles every day. Every day, 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 every day. Did I say that enough? I could have said it 365 and one-fourth times. So we see here that he left his country obedient. He took his relatives? No. I mean, he left his relatives? No. He left his father's family? No. So he was delayed for 5 years in a dry situation. In a dry situation. So his father dies, and he begins to move again. The separation took place. He began to move again. So he goes into the land that God was showing him. He wasn't possessing it. He was walking through it. Sometimes we have to walk through something before we're able to possess it. And as he walked through it, you know what he did? He built altars. Why did he build altars? Because altars are means of fellowship with God. You know, what's the greatest altar that's ever been? Anybody know what the greatest altar that's ever been? How about the cross of Christ? That's an altar. Can we come to God at that altar and meet God at that altar and have a relationship with Him? That's the only way that we can have a relationship with God, is by going to that altar of the cross. That's the thing. And every altar in the Bible is a picture of the cross. So as Abram began to build altars, he was entering into fellowship with God. As separation was taking place, he came into greater fellowship with God. But listen, was he perfect? No, he's still not perfect. But you know what he did? The Bible says that after he built that altar, he walked on towards the south. You know, we have a saying, well, I tried that, but it went south. What does that usually mean? It wasn't good. Well, he went to the south. And the Bible says that there was a severe famine that came into the land. And he was facing south. And guess what was south? Egypt. So he goes down to Egypt to flee the famine. Now, could God have met his need in the land of famine? You think so? Well, think about a few generations in the future. As the children of Israel come out of Egypt and they come into the wilderness where there's nothing. Did God meet their needs there? Water flowed out of a rock. Manna rained from the sky. Quail flew in and they ate quail till they were sick of their stomach. God provided for them in the wilderness. But what did Abram do? He goes to Egypt. When he gets close to the city where Pharaoh was at, he looks at his wife and thought, boy, she's good looking. And he got to thinking, you know what? That Pharaoh and his court is going to see my wife and they're going to want her. So you know what he does? He says to her, dear, when we get there, would you tell them that you're my sister? Now that was half true. They had the same father but different mothers. He married his half sister. But he told her what? A half truth, a half lie. Have you ever done that to make yourself look better? Have you ever done that to avoid something? Have we ever been guilty of telling half-truths? Abraham told a half-truth. And you know why he did it? Because he was afraid. He couldn't sing that song that we sing no more. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. He couldn't sing that because he was walking in fear. He forgot something. He forgot God's promise. You know what one of the promises that God made to Abram before he ever left Ur of the Chaldees? He says, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So what he does, to save his own stinking hide, he was willing to give his wife away. Isn't that about like guys? Well, honey, just say this. See, here's what would have happened. And it almost did. If God hadn't intervened, this is what would have happened. She would be taken into Pharaoh's harem and become one of his wives. And that almost happened. Because sure enough, when they get there, the thing that he greatly feared came upon him. They saw her. They saw that she was beautiful. They told Pharaoh. He brought her into his He brought her into his chambers, and thank God nothing happened. But he was giving the blessing away. And God's, you know, God remained true to his promise. See, we have a promise in 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God's always true to himself. Even when we're faithless, he is faithful. He made a promise, and he was going to stick to it. Abraham was wavering over here. He's afraid. He says, honey, tell him you're my sister so it will go well with me. Selfish little devil. He was willing to give her away to be a wife of Pharaoh so it would go well with him. Sterling character, don't you think? Great man of faith and power, don't you think? It doesn't look like it, does it? But you know what? It didn't stop God. The Bible says that God plagued Pharaoh's house. The next morning, he goes and finds Moses. He says, what have you done to me? What is it that you've done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Here, take your wife. Take all of these things that I've given you and get out of here. He got rebuked by a heathen. Now that's bad when heathens rebuke the church. It's happened. It's bad when the world rebukes the church and the world is right. So he took his stuff, he took his wife, and he left. And you know where he went? He went back to that very place where he had built that altar. He got back in fellowship with God. And that's the neat thing, because we're not necessarily seeing something about Abram as much as we are seeing something about God. Because, you know, sometimes we mess up, don't we? Don't we? You ever mess up? And the devil's there to say, yeah, Mr. Christian, Miss Righteous, look at you. Look at your attitude. Look what you said. Christian, huh? Yeah, some witness you are. And he'll tell us that that's God doing that to us. And it's not. God is committed to his cause, and you're a part of his cause. He is committed to you. He loves you, even when you mess up. Now, don't use that as an excuse. Well, if he loves me, I'll just let her rip like a tater chip. No! That's not what we're saying. Because we stumble doesn't mean that he gives up on us. He stays true to himself. When we're faithless, he remains faithful. I'm preaching like a Baptist now. I'm telling you, glory to God, with a little Pentecostal kick there. He didn't give up on you when you were in drugs. He didn't give up on you when you were in adultery. He didn't give up on you when you were doing things that you knew were wrong. He didn't give up. Some of you, he took right out of the jaws of death and redeemed you. You know why? Because he loves you and he's committed to you. Amen. And even after that, when you weren't faithful to him and stumbled, he didn't quit and say, I'm done with him. We do that. I'm done with him. No, he is not done with him. Did you know Israel has turned its back on God? They've rejected the Messiah that came right through their own generations, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. They rejected him. But you know what? God has not given up on Israel. Let me tell you something. And we need to be watching this. Because we're seeing in the news that Israel is in the news a lot. And let me tell you, that Genesis 12:2 promise is still available. I will bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. You jump on Israel, you're jumping on God. Because God is true to His promises. He's faithful. And He'll bring Israel in. I said, He'll bring Israel in. All right. We better be glad. The church needs to be a friend of Israel. The United States needs to be a friend of Israel. That's not politics. That's Bible. That's the B-I-B-L-E. Okay. So he goes back and he goes to that first place where he made an altar to God. He was back in fellowship with God. That's such good news. And that tells us a lot, that when we mess up, we need to run back into fellowship with God. Because he's not there to condemn us. He's there to forgive us. We do need to be forgiven. We do need to repent. That means turn around, go the other way, and he will restore us to fellowship with him. What did we learn today? Let me give you five outtakes so that you can write these down and take them home and think about them. Number one, he calls us to follow him with unquestionable faith. See, God gives us, he'll tell us what to do, but he don't always answer all of our questions. But he always gives us a promise. Let me say that again. He doesn't give us a reason for everything that he tells us to do. I got a little granddaughter. Everything you say to her, it's, why? Jalen, don't do that. Why? 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 Well, we're like that too. We're always looking at God saying, why? Why? Why do you want me to give? Why do you want me to call so-and-so? Why? 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 We're like little kids. He doesn't always tell us the reason, but he always gives us a promise. Okay? He didn't give Abram reasons. He gave him promises. Okay? So he calls us to follow him with unquestionable faith. Number two, he calls us to separate us, to separate from the things that hinder us. He calls us to separate from the things that hinder us. Why? Because they hinder your faith. Number three, don't look at your famines, look at God's promise. If Abram had looked, if he would have just remembered what God had promised, he'd have never gone to Egypt. He would have never had the embarrassment to be rebuked by the Pharaoh. He would never tried to give his wife away. Number four, don't go to Egypt, let God meet your needs. Don't turn to the world, turn to God. He has the answers. Number five, God is patient and loving to us in our failures. I'm so glad today that I don't have to be perfect. I want to be. I don't want to fail. I don't want to disappoint God. But he knows that I'll mess up. But if I'll turn to him, you know what? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to close with this verse, Psalms 86:1. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Now notice that there's a balance of mercy and truth. He doesn't skirt around truth, but he meets truth with mercy. And we need that. We need the truth. And sometimes the truth is uncomfortable, but there's always mercy mixed in with that truth. God has made a way for us. His name is Jesus. Can we stand together? We're going to worship. You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit speaking today. In fact, prayer team, won't you come? I didn't do this first service. We're going to do it second service. Prayer team, come. The Holy Spirit speaking today. And, you know, the question is, and I've asked this a lot of times, what did he say to you today? If something jumped out at you, you need to pay attention. It wasn't me talking to you. I'm just the blab mouth. The orchestrator and the one that speaks beyond what I say is the Holy Spirit. And what he says penetrates the heart. When that penetrates the heart, we need to pay attention. And we need to be willing to do whatever he asks us to do. So what did the Holy Spirit say to you today that you need to do? What is it that he pointed out to you that you need to change? What is it that you need to separate yourself from? The Holy Spirit's talking. Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying to us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. And now we enter into worship to worship you. If you need prayer, come. If you need to make Jesus Lord, come. They'll pray with you today.